I met a lot of people this summer, more than I could ever fit into 10 tidy episodes.
The crazy characters in this town, I mean, there are some wackadoo characters, and that's why I love it. I mean, we are some honey, well, there's a mixture of fruits and nuts like you can't believe. We really are. We are a kooky bunch.
This is Jimmy Lee Curtis, a.k.a. Mama Lee, and one of my favorite people in all of P-Town. I think he might actually be a lot of people's favorite.
How many children do you have?
I was thinking about this the other day. I'm just going to say 220, but I know there's more than that.
How did this happen?
You know, it's so funny. For some reason, like, they just started to call me Mama Lee. I don't know why. I always worry about, like, all the young people that come to town, and I always, like, kind of mother them in a way and, you know, look after them, and, like, I would always feed them, and it just kind of stuck.
I'm Mitra Kaboli. Welcome to Provincetown, episode 10. Bye, bitches! I met Jimmy Lee on my second day in town when I was recording the Fag Bash meeting.
Talk shit about everyone and everything in
town.
Oh,
I will, you know why? Because I don't care. I'm not afraid of anybody in this town.
In addition to organizing Fag Bash, Jimmy Lee is an artist and a fashion designer. And he has a fashion show coming up.
Please join us for a fashion show at the Commons featuring studio artist Jimmy Lee Curtis. Lost is all the time that is not engaged in love. That's the theme. Where the Commons Sculpture Garden and Exhibition Hallway, excuse me. Featuring local celebrities and special guest performances by Liza Lott and Kai Crystal, who have both
not. I might have to put special performances.
I think so.
They are still working on the details. Kaya is not confirmed yet.
We're trying to get Kaya to do, like, I want her to be the bride, and then I want her to do a number.
For me, this is the end of season event that I've been waiting for. All summer, I would occasionally pop into Jimmy Lee's studio, watch him sew his designs while we'd chit-chat.
Yeah, Atlanta in the 80s, that was something else, I'll tell ya.
Or I'd run into him at the church sale, which is the best thrift spot in town.
Hi, Lovey.
How are you?
Good.
All the goods here today?
Yes.
Jimmy Lee is kind of the it girl of the church sale. He goes almost every day. A lot of his designs for the fashion show have been upcycled from church sale finds.
Honey, this dress is an abomination. I'm sorry. So I'm ripping it apart, and then I'm going to put it back together. But I'm going to use different parts of it for different things. So, like, this beaded bodice part is going.
Jimmy Lee is relaxed as ever. But the fashion show is only a week away.
Are you stressed about time?
Or? No. But yeah, what gets done gets done. I can't stress about it, you know?
But Jimmy Lee is running short on models. When I see Kaya later, I'm going to put in a good word in hopes that she'll do the show. Because honestly, I want to see her perform one last time. And this show is just for the community. No tourists, just us. It's been about 2 weeks since Ethan's heart surgery.
How did it go?
It went really well. It was a little scary because you're awake the whole time, so...
You were awake the whole time?
I was. They gave me, like, a little sedation. They said I might feel a little sleepy. I swear I didn't feel shit. I felt the exact same way.
For Ethan's surgery, they started by making a small incision by the big artery in his thigh and then follow it all the way to his heart. Once at his heart, they looked for the extra electrical pathways that were causing the abnormal rhythms, and then they burned them off.
So on, like, my entire... like, left side of my upper body, I just felt, like, heat, just, like, tons of heat, just, like, radiating inside, and I was, like, super scared. I was, like, am I gonna, like, burn to death?
After the surgery, they ended up keeping Ethan overnight for observation.
But eventually, Kristen picked me up and surprised me with, like, that, I don't know if you saw, but that, like, teddy bear and, like, the other rainbow, like, heart they got me, and and something else.
Okay, he said we just picked you up.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Good. The surgery was successful. I'm a little sore on, like, my legs, but other than that, feeling good.
All right. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Mission accomplished.
And would you like McDonald's?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
After McDonald's, they headed back to Kristen's, where Ethan stayed during his recovery.
That night, we projected her Nintendo Switch, and we played video games, and she made this really good, like, beef stew, like, really good. I didn't expect it to be that good, but it was smack. Then she got, like, some ice cream for us, and, yeah, we ate that. We had, like, whipped cream, chocolate syrup. It was so good. And, yeah, she let me stay over in the guest room on that big comfortable bed. Yeah, she kind of just, you know, took care of me for a few hours. Really nice of her.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel really like at home for a minute, because, you know, cozy day, cozy moment. Not gonna lie, it was kind of nice to be like pampered for a minute. But yeah, that was really good.
Ethan getting a life-changing heart surgery, now that was not on my P-Town bingo card. I cannot think of a better outcome for the summer. But now, Kristen is starting to think about next summer, and she's been in a sort of existential crisis about the future of the program. With housing prices skyrocketing, it's getting more and more difficult for Summer of SAS to function with their normal budget.
Can the program carry on as it is? Sure. Actually, I don't know. Right? Because it is just me. And I don't, I mean, it's great. And I love it, and I'm committed to doing it, but, like, in order for it to stay sustainable, my fundraising is going to have to go up, and I just don't know how much of that I can do as one person who's also the person that's servicing the kids.
Kristen's ideal situation is to buy a house. That way, people can stay year-round if they want. She could hire someone to be an RA, and everyone could live on the property together.
Ideally, they would all live in a space, whether that's a couple of cottages in a backyard, you know, accessory dwelling units, and then a main kitchen, sort of like hostel-esque, or like just something where they're sharing space.
But a house in P-Town, that's at least $1 million.
I live around so much money that someone could literally sneeze the money I need and help kids forever. And so I haven't reached my tap-out point yet.
To that point, though, like, why hasn't someone sneezed you a fucking house out?
I mean, I don't know how to sell things, right? I just do the work. I wasn't ready for someone to drop money on me 3 years ago. I'm ready now. And I've learned a lot, and I've watched the kids, and I've learned from them. And, like, I've gone through all the things to figure out what works and what doesn't. I feel fairly confident if I was a gay boy, it probably would have been funded by now. I think there's some reality to that.
There is 100% a reality to that. If you're not a cis gay man, it is so much harder to get anything done in town. People feel a lot less compelled to show up for you. To me, it sort of feels like high school. The popular kids can sell out their shows, have orgies, get the good time slot for their events, find housing through Grindr, get first dibs on the dunk tank. But honestly, it's a total waste of my energy to be mad at the boys' club. I only have a few days left in town, and it just feels really good to see Ethan thrive. So Kristen and I, we just want to enjoy that.
He's like, really took this for an opportunity in a way I'm not sure anyone else really has in the program. And they've all done great things, you know?
How does that make you feel?
Oh, I'm really proud of him. Yeah, no, I'm super proud of him. I think he really was responsible, and I think he's incredibly emotionally intelligent, and I think he knows he has struggles and holds himself accountable to taking care of himself. And that's pretty fucking cool for an 18-year-old boy who, like, didn't really... I don't think that in his growing up that he was really given any core skill sets of self-care. I think it was always like, prey on it, you know? So this is pretty cool.
So,
he's a pretty different guy, huh? In the 3 months? Like, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know him that well.
Me neither. We all just met him. But, like, I don't know. I mean, he carries himself a little bit differently now than he did.
This is true. Ethan has a level of confidence about him that he certainly didn't have when he arrived in P-Town. Kristen showed me a video he made in October of 2020 when he was applying to get into Summer of SAS, and the contrast is stark.
I also want to apologize because I'm recording this with my regular iPhone camera. Usually I use Snapchat to record everything, but I can't for this because it would cut it short. But yeah, my teeth.
I played the video for him, and even he noticed the difference.
Wait, okay, let's pause right here.
Yes, please.
Okay, what is your reaction to that? I'm just curious.
So, my reaction to that is a level of cringe that I cannot even put to words. That's like looking at a completely different person. I'm just like, the amount of disclaimers I put like before I even said my name, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, bro, like get with it. But on another, you know, on another hand, like it's interesting to see me, like, I'm pretty sure it's been like a year since I've recorded that. And, you know, I can't say I'm like the most confident person in the world now, but it's definitely just like, okay, I see the difference.
Thank you. Gorgeous.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a couple of days before my move-out date. Kristen, Ethan, and I are all having dinner at the Lobster Pot, an iconic restaurant in P-Town, to celebrate Ethan and the end of summer. This is something he told me he wanted to do in our very first interview.
I want to go to, which I probably shouldn't if I want to save money, but I want to go to the Lobster Pot before I leave. I've never been, and the food looks super good, so I want to go.
And so Kristen and I are treating him.
Okay, what's everyone getting?
Well, first a raw bar explosion,
yeah,
right?
We're
getting shrimp cocktail and oysters on the half shell, and then Russian oysters. And Ethan hasn't had any of those. Well, he's had shrimp cocktail, but it's going to be an oyster fest.
I know I'm going to get the clam bake. So
and a lobster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lobster suit. It doesn't.
With the bright neon sign, the Lobster Pot gives tourist trap vibes. But the food is actually pretty good.
Ethan, review the lobster.
I think I would give the lobster an 8.5 out of 10.
And, like, just the whole experience.
I think the whole experience, like, a 9 out of 10. God, it just feels super, like, bougie right now.
Hell yeah.
Which was the goal.
Wait, how did you feel about the oysters? I'm curious.
Oysters, I did not like the regular ones at all. Like, I was like, why do people like these? I like the Russian oysters a little bit because of whatever that was on
the caviar?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Something like
and
that.
And you're feeling bougie? Like, the caviar you like?
Something. I don't know what it was, but I like those okay.
It's like, why do you eat oysters without caviar?
I'm just really proud of Ethan. It feels like the world is open to him in ways that it never was before. His plan right now is to go home to Ohio for a few weeks and then probably come back to P-Town and find a job with housing for the winter. I think he has a pretty strong support network here.
You know, when I think about leaving, you know, I get like a little emotional almost because I'm like, as cliche as it sounds, I would honestly say this has been the best summer of my life and I'm just really happy because I actually never like thought most of what I experienced this summer would be possible, but here I am. And I'm really proud of myself for a lot of what I got done. I've just felt so much love this summer, just kind of radiating. And right now, at the end of it all, I just feel like I'm just like overflowing with all that love. And, you know, I don't know, truthfully, like where the hell my life is going to go, where I'm going to end up. I don't know if I'll be back here in a few weeks, a few months, or I'll stay back in Ohio and just figure myself out. I don't know if what's gonna happen. I don't know, like everything's so unpredictable. I'm still so young, but I didn't want to leave Promise Town until I really got to experience what that freedom is like. This experience has changed my life.
The day of Jimmy Lee's fashion show is here. My co-producer Emily picks me up and drives me to the venue. I'm a nervous wreck.
I feel extremely stressed.
Can you get it?
Yeah, I can get out.
Do you want to take a moment?
I somehow got wrangled into walking in the show, which sounded like a good idea when I agreed to it, but now feels like a huge mistake. One of my shoes has already broken. Fashion disaster. I'm feeling very season 4, episode 2 of Sex and the City right now, where Carrie trips on the runway of the fashion show she's in. And when I get to the venue, I am not reassured. Things are hectic.
All right, we are 15 minutes till show.
Oh, shit. I've got to go pee, and then I got to get dressed, and I got to help Kaya.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Okay.
We got it.
Kaya has finally arrived, and she's set to be the bride of the show.
Oh, good. I don't even need tits or hip pads. Oh, my favorite kind of dress.
The dress is this giant, mostly white thing that balloons out from the neck with blue birds and oversized flowers all over it.
So then, that's your final dress. So
what's going on over top of it?
Are we gonna lose these?
She's wearing a different dress underneath the poofy one for the finale.
Oh my god!
It's like unwrapping a Christmas present.
All right, I'm gonna go call 5 minutes, y'all.
All righty, okay. Thank you, Five.
The show is about to start. Emily and Daddy Doula Ben are in the audience.
As we're waiting for the show to start, I spot so many familiar faces. Faces that remind me of the best Provincetown has to offer. Moonlit hikes in the dunes, midday swims, chill nights bonding over a few cocktails. The general warmth of the community. People who have known each other for ages. I run into Jay Critchley.
Hi, honey. I thought you might be here. You saw Go, too.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
The seats fill up and the MC takes the mic. He looks great in a sequin dress and boat captain hat.
Thank you all for showing up for love. This is a love letter to Provincetown from Jimmy Lee Curtis. Jimmy's one of our studio artists here. And if you don't know Jimmy, you'll fall in love with Jimmy tonight.
Models start walking out one by one, all carrying a small bouquet of flowers, draped in hand-painted silk scarves. Each look is a patchwork of fabrics, Jimmy Lee's own unique designs. Then, and I'm so glad Mitra doesn't see this, one of the models trips and falls in her espadrilles.
Girl drops her shoes,
wedged down.
But she throws off her shoes, shakes it off, and just keeps strutting. I was entranced by the whole thing. It reminded me of what happens when you start to unexpectedly fall in love. When suddenly you realize this person you've been spending all this time with is kind of good looking.
Woo, Mackenzie! Look at that tool.
Ben is sitting next to me. He's become those two heckling Muppets in the balcony seats. Narrating and loving every minute of it.
This kid always wears tiny shorts and I would say he has a giant penis. Glad he's in a skirt. A little spin at the end. Saltine. Woo! She's all legs. She's giving you like a Christian summer camp golf. Woo! This transition into like muted pinks.
It's my time to come out, and I'm trying to walk slow as I was told to, but it feels so unnatural. I spot Emily and Ben and immediately feel my face flush.
Girl. Wearing a Gretchen scarf as a top.
Beyond the seated crowd, I notice that there are a bunch of people across the street sitting on someone's lawn. I spot so many of my friends that I made this summer, the people whose friendship I came to rely on. I try to say hi to them, but also, you know, be cool.
This really is the event of the season. It's a delight to see the support each model gets as they take their lap. Then Kaya Kristal comes out to close the show. She's engulfed in a dome of printed fabrics from the neck down. Her head is the only part of her body that's visible.
It's like this massive, like, it's not even a hoop because it's bigger than a hoop, but it's Kaya walking in this huge, like...
It's like three bolts of fabric.
Yeah, it's like the Nutcracker lady with all the dancing people underneath. Work, Kaya!
All of the models stream out for one final lap and round of applause. They gather around the entrance of the building and wait for Kaya.
They're running out of the building.
Kaya finally emerges in a fitted floor-length dress with feathers at the bottom. She wears a bridal veil and holds a giant bouquet. She looks demure as she walks slowly to her mark, like a blushing bride.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found, leading from your window pane to a place beyond the sun. Just a step beyond the rain. Hit it. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high.
I've heard Kaya sing this song about 60 times this summer. I thought I'd grown numb to it. But in this setting, at the end of summer, I couldn't help but be moved. I'm struck with this overwhelming feeling that this is the heart of P-Town, away from the tourists and the parties.
Rainbow skies are blue.
Way back at the beginning of June, my very first weekend in town, some friends from home came to visit me. We drank tall boys on the beach, dinner, dancing, pizza, the whole shebang. I had my smaller recorder with me, just for fun. While we were standing in the middle of Commercial Street, I asked my friend to describe the scene.
We are at the very end of a dream, but it's not time for everyone to wake up yet.
After tonight, with the sun setting behind Kaya, belting out one more goddamn over the rainbow, I think it's finally time to wake up.
Why can't
I? Wednesday, September 15th. I'm about to leave. I'm just doing some last minute things.
It's move-out day. Even though I've been ready to leave for a while, and technically my contract ended 2 weeks ago, I've waited until the absolute last possible moment to go home. A lot of my friends who are seasonal workers have already left. Emily's gone. There is something about being here where mentally, it's very hard to leave. Surrounded by water on both sides, driving off the Cape feels so daunting. But today, I have to do it. I don't have a choice. Unlike a lot of people we talk to, this isn't my home. It's time for me to go.
Okay, I'm about to leave. Pulling out of this driveway for the last time.
Head southeast toward Massachusetts 6A East, then turn left on Massachusetts 6A East.
So, I'm leaving. Goodbye, East End. Goodbye, East End Market. I spent way too much money at your establishment. Okay, squirrel crossing the road, just like sitting in the middle of the road. Bye, squirrel. Route 6, baby. We're leaving.
P-Town is at the very end of a highway, Route 6. Old Route 6 used to go all the way to Long Beach, California. I like to think that back in the day, queers from California, or anywhere really, would make the trek to P-Town, a place they knew they would be safe. Driving on Route 6 until they ran out of land. A coast-to-coast queer passage. Today, as I make my drive out of town, I'm thinking about what I wanted to get out of my summer, how I came to this historic place to try and understand community and queerness and where I fit into those things, how to grow old and gay. There's only one word that's coming to mind: intentionality. At my age especially, 35, it feels like things just don't happen by accident anymore. You do not accidentally end up 50 miles into the Atlantic Ocean, underneath the deck of a hotel, sucking dick at 2 a.m. Or in my case, watching the moonrise on a beach with my friends. I wanted to come here and bask in the joy, beauty, and pleasure of queer life, and I did. And I hope long after I'm gone, P-Town will still be here for anyone who needs it.
By Snail Road. Oh, here it is. The sign says Bishop, California, 3,205 miles, Long Beach, California, historic Route 6, bitch. Bye.
Welcome to Provincetown was created by Roomtone and Rococo Punch. It's produced by me, Mitra Cavoli, and Emily Foreman in association with Stitcher. Story editing by Gianna Palmer at Witness Docs. Charlotte Livingston is our production assistant. Bart Tochi helped with fact-checking. James Trout helped with mixing. Our executive producers are Jessica Alpert and John Parati at Rococo Punch and Ben Riskin and Bianca Grimshaw at Roomtone. Camille Stanley is the executive producer of Witness Docs, and Casey Holford is the technical director. To learn more about Summer of SAS and help Kristen buy a house to keep the program alive, please check out summerofsas.org. A lot of people made this show possible, so thank you, thank you, thank you to Leah Reese Dennis at Stitcher, Rachel Strom and Jesse Feitel. Thank you, John Hamilton, Katie Ledoux, and Carol Cambar. Thank you, Paul Benson, Dave LaFrance, Jill Stopher, and The Commons. Thank you, Sarah Van Mosel and David Dunlap, Jason Moore, Dory Santos. Thank you to Jonathan Hawkins and John Richardson, John Frischkopf and Brett Mattingly. And thank you to everyone in P-Town who shared their summers with me and Emily. We could not have done this without you. If you want to see pics from our summer, please follow us on Instagram at Rococo Punch. Bye, bitches.
We sound great, and I'm recording.
Okay. Great.
Great.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to
Emotion Dump.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have been here.
Who's got emotions?
Who's got emotions?